Joy is now going to give us the readings.
Both readings this morning are taken from the Message by Eugene Peterson. Luke chapter 21, verses 5 to 19. Watch out for doomsday deceivers. One day, people were standing around talking about the temple, remarking how beautiful it was, the splendor of its stonework and memorial gifts. Jesus said, "All this you're admiring so much, the time is coming when every stone in that building will end up in a heap of rubble." They asked him, "Teacher, when is this going to happen? What clue will we get that it's about to take place?" He said, "Watch out for the doomsday deceivers. Many leaders are going to show up with forged identities, claiming, 'I'm the one,' or 'the end is near.' Don't fall for any of that. When you hear of wars and uprisings, keep your head and don't panic. This is routine history and no sign of the end." He went on, "Nation will fight nation and ruler fight ruler over and over. Huge earthquakes will occur in various places. There will be famines. You'll think at times that the very sky is falling. But before any of this happens, they'll arrest you, hunt you down, and drag you to court and jail. It will go from bad to worse. Dog eat dog, everyone at your throat because you carry my name. You'll end up on the witness stand, called to testify. Make up your mind right now not to worry about it. I'll give you the words and wisdom that will reduce all your accusers to stammers and stutters. You'll even be turned in by parents, brothers, relatives and friends. Some of you will be killed. There's no telling who will hate you because of me. Even so, every detail of your body and soul, even the hairs of your head, is in my care. Nothing of you will be lost. Staying with it, that's what is required. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry, you'll be saved." And from Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 to 25, "New heavens and a new earth. Pay close attention now. I'm creating new heavens and a new earth. All the earlier troubles, chaos and pain are things of the past to be forgotten. Look ahead with joy. Anticipate what I'm creating. I'll create Jerusalem as sheer joy, create my people as pure delight. I'll take joy in Jerusalem, take delight in my people. No more sounds of weeping in the city, no cries of anguish, no more babies dying in the cradle, or old people who don't enjoy a full lifetime. 100th birthdays will be considered normal. Anything less will seem like a cheat. They'll build houses and move in. They'll plant fields and eat what they grow. No more building a house that some outsider takes over. No more planting fields that some enemy confiscates. For my people will be as long-lived as trees. My chosen ones will have satisfaction in their work. They won't work and have nothing come of it. They won't have children snatched out from under them. For they themselves are plantings blessed by God. With their children and grandchildren, likewise God blessed. Before they call out, I'll answer. Before they've finished speaking, I'll have heard. Wolf, and lamb will graze the same meadow, lion and ox eat straw from the same trough, but snakes, they'll get a diet of dirt. Neither animal nor human will hurt or kill anywhere on my holy mountain, says God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Joy. He went on, nation will fight nation, and ruler fight ruler, over and over. Huge earthquakes will occur in various places. There will be famines. You'll think at times that the very sky is falling. Pay close attention now. I'm creating new heavens and a new earth. All the earlier troubles, chaos, and pain are things of the past to be forgotten. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts and minds be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I've titled this sermon, Restoring the Balance. Restoring the Balance. The Greek word euangelion and its Latin translation evangelium mean gospel or good news. When Luke's gospel was first being written down in Greek, it would have been known as the euangelion according to Luke or the gospel according to Luke. The modern word gospel derives from the Anglo-Saxon word godspell, which meant good story. And that's what we expect from the four gospels that made it into the New Testament. And there were many other gospels circulating towards the end of the first century and beginning of the second, which didn't make it into the Bible that we have today. In reading Luke, yet we have to work hard to find any good news here. It's hard work. The setting is Jesus' last week in Jerusalem. He came in riding on a donkey at the start of the week. Each morning, he walks into Jerusalem from Mary and Martha's house in Bethany and teaches in the outer courts of the temple. The temple, restored a few decades earlier by Herod the Great, is spectacular and impressive. People note its strong stone foundations and walls. It looks and feels permanent. But Jesus said that it will all soon be destroyed, that the people can't count on coming to the temple to offer sacrifice and worship for much longer. Note that the temple was destroyed by the Romans in the year 70, so when Luke's gospel was being written down in the last decade or so of the first century, the destruction that Jesus warns of in the story has actually taken place. It's not just a metaphor. Naturally, the people listening to Jesus are disturbed by this news and want to know, when is it going to happen? What warning signs will we get beforehand? They're looking for certainty. They want to know what they can rely on in life. But Jesus isn't offering this. Jesus instead warns them about false prophets and leaders who say, follow me, I'll lead you through this, who will say anything to gain and keep power. For me, this brings to mind the likes of the recent UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who promised how much better off the country would be if the UK left the European Union. It did, and it isn't. Or Donald Trump, who during his 4 years as president of the USA would say anything to keep power, much of which was plainly untrue. How do such people get elected? They convince enough people to believe in their message and vote for them. And they stay in power because once an idea takes hold in us, we don't like to admit that we got it wrong and made a mistake. And Jesus also warns that nation will fight nation over and over. I've been following the news about the Russian war in Ukraine on the UK newspaper The Guardian's website each day. They provide up-to-the-minute information alongside thoughtful commentary and insights. It's very easy to get drawn into taking sides, to almost enjoy reports of plucky Ukrainians using cheap Turkish drones to destroy Russian tanks, and to take satisfaction from the Ukrainians fighting back and regaining cities and districts. One article on Friday estimated that 200,000 people, soldiers and civilians, had been killed in this war since it started in February, just 9 months ago. It's horrible. Huge earthquakes. Well, we know about them in New Zealand. During the Kaikoura earthquake, several buildings in Wellington were damaged and had to be pulled down. These were modern buildings, built to the earthquake regulations of the time. We expected them to be permanent and strong like the temple, but they weren't. And we don't have to look far to find famine in our times. The World Food Programme says that in 2021, hunger affected 278 million people in Africa, 425 million people in Asia, and 56.5 million people in Latin America and the Caribbean. Ukraine is a major grower and exporter of wheat, but its exports through the Black Sea have been blocked by Russia. The sky may not be falling, but the climate is changing, due almost entirely to our actions over the last 200 years. We're now at a crisis point. Things that we took for granted, like enough but not too much rain, adequate warmth for growing crops but not too much, can't be relied on. All over the world, there are floods, droughts, heat waves, hurricanes, all made much more frequent and more extreme by climate change. World leaders are meeting at the moment in Cairo to agree what their countries can do to slow down the climate crisis. We pray that they make courageous decisions and take meaningful action. And as if this isn't enough to look forward to, Jesus goes on to say, before any of these things happen, you'll be persecuted because you believe in me. Your family and friends will reject and betray you. You may even be killed for my sake. Eugene Peterson, in the Message version of the story that we heard earlier, tells us to stay with it to the end. We won't be sorry, we'll be saved. This is a hard gospel reading. Let's turn now to the reading from Isaiah 65. Isaiah is offering hope for the people of Israel returning from their exile in Babylon, that God has a better world in mind for them. Notice that this text is all one long statement in the name of God. There are speech marks at the start and end. It's an uninterrupted idea, a vision, a stream of consciousness. Here's a list of the things that will no longer trouble you. Chaos and pain. Sounds of weeping and cries of anguish. Babies will not die in their cradles. People's lives will not be cut short. Outsiders will not take over houses we build. And enemies will not confiscate the crops we grow. Isaiah also lists all the good things that God will bring us. Joy, I'll create Jerusalem as sheer joy. God creates people, that's us, as pure delight. We will live long and healthy lives, and lots of us will live to be 100 years old or more. We will eat the crops that we grow. We will have satisfying, meaningful work. Our children and their children and their children going on forever will be blessed. God will hear our prayers before we finish speaking, and no animal or person will hurt or kill anywhere in God's holy city. Our old problems will be dealt with, And in their place, we will inherit a new community, country, and world where all can thrive. Sounds good, doesn't it? I wonder how we can help this to happen. It was hugely enjoyable to be part of Drama Christie's 75th anniversary last week. We could have let 75 years go by unmarked. Instead, we chose to create and take part in a celebration. There are two organisations that our church is associated with who do the hard stuff of helping people rebuild their lives. Downtown Community Ministry, DCM, and Wesley Community Action. I like to think that they do this on our behalf. And it was good to hear from DCM a couple of Sundays ago about all the services they can provide people. This is real love and compassion in action. Let's keep finding ways we can support them. I've started reading Pope Francis's visionary 2015 book, Laudato Si. He offers a robust analysis of the state of the world and encourages us all to take more responsibility for caring both for God's creation and all its people. The world is out of balance. Our survival is threatened. The things warned about by Jesus in the reading from Luke have all come true. Which course will we choose? Will we just accept that this is the way things are and that nature will take its course? Perhaps it's just too late for us to make a difference. Luke warns the way ahead will be hard. Isaiah inspires us to imagine a new earth. I suggest that we need to adopt and share a hope for the world. Not a fool's hope, but a real confidence and faith that the good things we do and say are worth doing and saying and will make a real difference. They must do. We have no other choice. Amen.